Title of my sermonette today is The Red Sea Crossing. I want to welcome everybody here, as Mark said, to this last day of unleavened bread. This day, when Israel crossed through the Red Sea, is sprinkled throughout the Word of God. It's in Psalms many times, Isaiah, 1 Corinthians, Hebrews. What is it that God wants us to learn that's important about this very holy day? The rest of the world is just going about their business today. They really don't have any idea what we're up to. And they're mostly unaware of its importance and its significance. But it's critical for us that we understand why we're here and why we are keeping this holy day. And why God has spread this story of the Red Sea crossing around in his word. Let's go over to Leviticus 23. And we'll read verses 4 through 8. Wouldn't be the holy day if we didn't read these scriptures. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations which you proclaim at their appointed time. On the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover, and on the 15th day of the month, same month, is the feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread, just as Scott told us last week. On the first day you shall have a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. But you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord for 7 days, and the seventh day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. That we remember this day that God has commanded as our Creator, the all-powerful God, and that we are faithful to His word is the points I want to make today. So let's look at 3 points that God created this time we are observing in the very beginning, that God is all-powerful, and we, his people, as point 3, follow his word faithfully. So let's start with point 1. When did God plan the holy days? Let's turn to Genesis 1, and we'll read verses 14 to 19. Then God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years." Signs, the word means distinguishing marks, banner, a remembrance, miraculous sign, miracle, and seasons, appointed times, sacred seasons, set feasts, appointed seasons, appointed meetings, or tent of meeting. We meet together on this day because God commands it. And he set up this time right from the very beginning of creation. In verse 15 it says, "And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made 2 great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night, and he made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." When God created this time, he saw it as good, and we need to see it as good too. From the very beginning, God set up these times for the holy days. And if you remember last week when we came out after the Passover, what did we see? The full moon. All these are determined by God as cycles for days, weeks, months, and years. Over in Proverbs 8, 29, Proverbs 8, 29, it's wisdom speaking. It says, "When he assigned to the sea its limit so that the waters would not transgress his command." God set with his power the ability to to put the water where it could be, and then that's all that it could do. In verse 30, it says, then I was beside him as a master craftsman, that's wisdom, and I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and my delight was with the sons of men. God had this great plan, and we, the sons of men, are part of that plan. If you drop down to verse 34, it says, blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, watching at the posts of my door, for whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. And isn't that what the days of unleavened bread have shown? Before the days, we put that sin out of our lives, and now we've been putting God's way into our lives for 7 days. Let's move on to point two, that God is all-powerful. How much power do you think it would take to open the Red Sea, half a mile or a mile, so that the Israelites could walk through? Psalm 78 says that he divided the sea and caused Israel to pass through. Have you ever carried a 5-gallon bucket of water? Maybe both hands? How far do you think you could get? How far could any of us get? Now think of the billions or trillions of gallons of water that God moved in that one night. How powerful is God? Well, in fact, there's nothing that's too hard for God. It was an easy thing for him to do, I'm sure. And I think that's the God that we all want to serve, isn't it? An all-powerful God. Let's turn over to Psalm 66, verses 6 and 7. Psalm 66. It says, in verse 6, it says, he turned the sea into dry land. That's the Red Sea. They went through the river on foot. That refers to the Jordan River. There we saw, we will rejoice in him. He rules by his power forever. From before time started till time into the future, God is always powerful. And he observes observes the nations. And do not let the rebellious exalt themselves. Let's turn over to Psalm 136, very interesting psalm. And after each verse it has, for his mercy endures forever. I'm not going to read that part, but we'll just go through it a little bit here. In the first verse, it says, the Lord is good. And then in verses 2 and 3, it says, give thanks to the God of gods and the Lord of lords. In verse 4, who alone does wonders. And then it talks about him being the creator again. That in verse 6, who set the boundaries for the water. But now let's drop down to verse 12. With a strong hand and an outstretched arm, to him who divided the Red Sea in two and made Israel to pass through it, but overthrew Pharaoh and his army in the Red Sea. His mercy endures forever, doesn't it? As powerfully as God had opened the sea, he closed it upon Pharaoh and his army. We serve an all-powerful God. Remember that as we keep this last day of unleavened bread. God will deliver us. Let's move on to last point, point three. God expects us to faithfully follow his word. Please turn over to Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11. In this chapter, it keeps saying over and over, by faith. This faith is things that are hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. We are to walk in a way that will bring us to God's kingdom, to eternal life, to see his face in our, to face. In verse 29, it says, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, whereas the Egyptians, attempting to do so, were drowned. As we saw, by the power of God, he opened the sea and he closed it, saving his people Israel. And we know we are in this process of being changed to join his eternal family, building his holy, righteous character in us. So what should we do if we believe God and want to be a part of his family? The answer is in Hebrews 12:1, right across the page probably. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight. What kind of things weigh your walk with God down? Is there things that you really don't need to be doing that you're doing that are actually taking your time away from God? And the sin which so easily ensnares us, and we have done that, we've put the sin out of our lives, and we are enjoying God's word in our life. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus showed us by his perfect obedience, his faith in his Father, and he showed us the way. So in conclusion, we have looked at three different things about this crossing of the Red Sea, that God created the time so that we would know when to keep the holy days in the beginning, that God, the God of all power, divided the Red Sea and saved Israel and has the power to save us, and that we need to be faithful to God, God's way, like those that have gone before us. We can trust God, and he will deliver us and bring us into his kingdom.